The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was without form or shape, with darkness over the abyss, and a mighty wind was sweeping over the waters, God said, "Let there be light." As you know, these are the very opening lines of the entirety of sacred scripture, Genesis 1, verse 1. It is, in some ways, in poetic language, the account of God's creation of the world ex nihilo, from nothing, exhibiting his divine power. But the detail that the earth was without form or void until God shapes it indicates that God does not merely create from nothing, but he brings order and structure from the chaos and the incoherence. The same can be said just a few verses later when God creates Adam. We read, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust. So he brings form and structure to the person of Adam. But that's not the text completely. It goes on to say, God blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So in some ways, God breathes not just life in Adam, but gives his own divine life to him. So there's the structure, order and structure, and the breath of life. But as you know, there were times where we as humanity failed and forfeited that gift of divine life. The need for a way back became evident, and the mercy of God needed to be experienced personally. So throughout salvation history, he established covenants that had structure and order, first with Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, provided the structure of this covenant that would be the means by which eventually God would provide the way back. The last 2 weeks, Holy Week and the octave of Easter, has been an immersion in the Paschal mystery. When we say the Paschal Mystery, it has been an immersion in the passion, suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ, which is the establishment of our hope for eternal life. And through that Paschal Mystery, he has established a new and eternal covenant. In his blood, it has been sealed. This new and eternal covenant has been established upon his apostles. It has been given order and structure, a fulfillment of the 12 tribes of Israel, principally the 12 apostles led by Peter. We read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Peter was the one who confessed, Christ, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord then declared to him, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. In this text, Christ, the living stone, assures his church, built on Peter, victory over the powers of death. Because of the faith he confessed, Peter will remain the unshakable rock of the church. His mission will be to keep this faith from every lapse and to strengthen his brothers in it. Jesus entrusted a specific authority to Peter, and I continue with the catechism here. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The power of the keys designates authority to govern the house of God, which is the church. Jesus, the good shepherd, confirmed this mandate after the resurrection. We will hear this mandate next Sunday in the gospel when Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep. The power to bind and loose connotes the authority to absolve sins, to pronounce doctrinal judgments, and to make disciplinary decisions in the church. Jesus entrusted this authority to the church through the ministry of the apostles, and in particular through the ministry of Peter, the only one to whom he specifically entrusted the keys of the kingdom. So today in the gospel, we see Christ give the breath of life and order and structure to the church. He knew that the whole world would need to experience his mercy personally, and so he ordains and commissions those 12 and their successors to go to the whole world, to be ambassadors of truth, of his salvation, to be missionaries of his mercy, to show the people the way back to him and his own divine life. Today, we thank God for his mercy. We call today Divine Mercy Sunday. This was established 25 years ago by Pope John Paul II. He established Divine Mercy Sunday on the day of the canonization of St. Faustina Kowalska, a nun in Poland in the 1930s who received visions of Christ and his mercy. Hence, we have the image of Divine Mercy here in front of the ambo. We also have the chaplet of Divine Mercy, which is prayed with the beads of the rosary. We also have her spiritual diary of Divine Mercy. She's also one who taught us that 3 o'clock every day is the hour of mercy. Faustina was an ambassador of God's mercy and encourages us to experience that mercy personally. Today we also praise God for the institution of the church, its structure and its order, most especially in the papacy. It is God's creation. It is experienced in different ways. The papacy and the order of bishops is experienced in different ways, in different times, in different places. The church is governed by fallen human beings, and yet it is a divine institution, unlike any other human creation or human institution in the world. We call the church, yes, the new and eternal covenant. It is the mystical body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. It is the bride of Christ. And it is his Holy Spirit that enlivens her, gives her fruitfulness. And the Pope stands as the vicar of Christ and the successor of St. Peter. So we thank God for the papacy of Pope Francis, who experienced God's mercy personally. When he was merely 16 years old on the feast of St. Matthew, the evangelist, in September, He went to confession and he exited the confessional convinced he was called to be a priest and to be an ambassador of God's mercy. It led him to be a bishop, an archbishop, a cardinal, and in the end, the successor of St. Peter. When he became pope, he described the church as a field hospital in the middle of a battle, a place where we experience healing of our wounds through the wounds of Jesus, just as Thomas did in the gospel today. It was not merely 2 years into his pontificate that he announced an extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy, and he commissioned individual priests in every country in the world to be missionaries of mercy, showing the way back to Christ. Here on Divine Mercy Sunday, we praise God because he wants us to experience the order and structure he has intended since the beginning. From the chaos and in the incoherence of our lives, we experience that order and structure through the church and through his divine breath of grace. We experience his mercy personally, such that we might be transformed by it and come in union with him. We hope also by experience God's mercy that we become ambassadors of his mercy, showing others the way to healing in union with him.